Welcome to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean MacDonald, and I'm rewatching the series for the third time. My co-host Kathy Campbell is watching for the first time, so we make an effort not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode we are currently discussing. Hey, Kathy, how's it going?
It's going great, Jean. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying Orphan Black season three. We're up to a new season, and I'm excited about that. A new story arc, new characters, etc.
Yeah, it definitely is exciting to get into season three.
Yeah. So before we get to this episode, I just wanted to start with two requests of our sestras and brother sestras who are listening out there. The first is really simple. Please go to iTunes and rate the podcast. And if you have a little extra time, leave a short review too. We currently have no ratings. I mean, zero ratings.
What?
I know. And we know that you like the podcast, so it would be awesome if you went there and rated it. We don't appear for any searches for Orphan Black in the iTunes store. So imagine a crying face emoji here. We are definitely committed to Sestercast for three more seasons, and it would be nice to know that Orphan Black fans can find our spoiler-free show when they look for it.
Yes.
Yeah. And then our second request is that you consider becoming a member of The Incomparable, which is the amazing network we are so fortunate to be a part of. If you go to theincomparable.com/members, you'll get all the details there. And basically, you sign up to make a contribution on a monthly basis, and you can choose the podcast that you want your contribution to go towards. So if you check the box for Sestercast, your contribution comes to us, and except for a small fee, of course, because there's always fees on the internet. And there are a bunch of other really cool shows as well. And Kathy and I have recorded a special bonus for Incomparable members that was super fun to record, right, Kathy?
Oh my goodness, it was so much fun, especially because we got to do it in person.
It was in person, and we even shared a set of ear pods because we're really highly yes. Professional technical audio people, and we've had to figure out a way that we could watch the show, talk about it, record that, but not record the sound from the show. And so we MacGyvered it, as I like to say. And I yes. think it's pretty fun. And so you can watch episode one of season one and listen to us watch it with you. And it's almost like having us right there in your living room or your TV room or your media room, whatever you have.
Wherever you watch Orphan yeah. Black.
So if you want to get that, you'll need to be a member of the Incomparable Network. And the details, as I said, are at theincomparable.com/members. Well, we got to get to this show and this new season and talk about it. And this episode is called The Weight of This Combination. And just as a preface before we talk about the show itself, the titles this season come from President Dwight D. Eisenhower's farewell address, which seems very interesting compared to first season. The titles came from Darwin, and the second season from Francis Bacon. But if you read the farewell address, which I finally did for the first time, you realize it's all about the issues with, that's just where the term military industrial complex was coined, and about science and politics. There's a lot more about that in that speech, and it's a super short speech. We'll put a link to the show notes to it. But anyway, the weight of this combination comes from a sentence, which the full sentence is, "We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or our democratic processes." So,
important. Awesome. And as usual, whoever picks out the titles, I mean, amazing. Well done.
We do know who picks out the titles. Actually, one person, and her name is Cosima. It's the Cosima who was Cosima in the show was named after. So she's a scientist, and darn it, I've forgotten her last name. But yes,
that's I know. So cool. Real life Cosima. Good job, Cosima.
Really good job. And
yes,
I think that was an inspired choice because it brings in something that I would have never thought of as related to Orphan Black. Now, we looked over our notes from this episode, and so much happens in this episode with many quick cuts. We threw up our hands and said, there's no way to talk about this one clone at a time. So we are going to just go through.
Especially with the sheer amount of multiple clones together.
Yes.
It just was like, nope, we're not going to do it by clone. We're just going to do it chronologically. Yeah,
not to mention new clones, brand new clones. So we will get to those. But before we do, wasn't this a most lovely opening for a season?
Yes, even though you know that there is no way it's real. Yeah. I think that's it. It made it extremely bittersweet because there was no believability, which is totally fine because it's not going to be like that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it made it so hard to watch because
you knew
it was Helena that was dreaming.
Yes. So she was dreaming a baby shower, and it was her ideal baby shower in such that the Beach Boys, Wouldn't It Be Nice, was playing, but they were singing in Ukrainian, I believe.
Yes.
Cosima was dressed in traditional Ukrainian, you know, folk garb, which was hysterical, because not what Cosima would normally wear. And
right.
They were, she had all her sisters around her, and they were all just, you know, celebrating Helena and her baby that is on the way. And it was lovely. And then the food came out and it was all these Ukrainian delicacies, babka cake. So that we know that Helena is into babka and kielbasa, which is sausage. And she takes a bite of the bread and closes her eyes. And that's the end of the baby shower. And back in the box. Cosima is back in a box once again.
Helena.
Sorry, Helena. Yeah. See, here we go. And not only is she in the box, she's not 100% alone. What did you think of that? I'm curious.
I was like, okay, so she's transitioning from a dream into a nightmare. But then I was like, oh no, it's just a hallucination. The scorpion is going to be her best friend. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What? And so, it was very confusing, very Helena. But it also made me question, like, is this what Mrs. S knew was going to happen to Helena when she went into, like, captivity?
Oh, when she traded.
Yeah, when she traded Helena for Kira's safety, basically. Mm. Like,
yeah.
Probably really makes me not. Wonder.
Although
I would hope not, but again, you never know because this is Orphan Black, and who knows what will happen.
That's true. So yeah, so the talking scorpion that Helena is hallucinating—we're pretty sure she's hallucinating. Is named Pupok, and the voice is also done by Tatiana Maslany, and
of course,
and apparently not just the voice, but all the little sound effects that go with the scorpion, so the clicking sounds and things like that. So I would love to see the recording session where she's doing that. I'd love to see how she emotes
made those
the Scorpio scorpion.
Yeah.
And then the credits roll. Next scene, we're in an operating room and it's pretty gross. Yeah. So
yeah, it was like they really zoomed in on the bloody pencil as they pulled it out of her eye, which, like, really cool camera tricks. Like, that's awesome. Very nice. But the sounds and the It was a lot. And especially for happening right after the credits, there was no like lead right. into it. And it was rough. But thankfully that didn't seem to last too long. Once it was over, I kind of wiped it out of my memory. And so I was able to move on to happy, fun times, Sarah and Felix on the beach with Kira playing.
Yeah.
Which was much happier. Yeah,
shite beach, as Felix calls it.
Yes. And I walked down memory lane, which was so funny that they were talking about how the last time that they were there was for her memorial, which was in episode 1 of season 1, which we had literally just watched not very long before. So I thought that was a nice little tie-in to our members episode.
That's true. Meanwhile, back at Dyad, there's Delphine, and she's talking to Sarah. I think it's at Dyad. No, they are at... They're in Marion Bowles' house, right?
Yeah.
And I like how she says, Rachel has powerful friends and you'll put a pencil in her eye. <It's>
like, yes.
And so Delphine's been in Europe and of course she got promoted to be the new Rachel at Dyad. And she... wants Sarah to talk to Rudy, the clone, because he won't talk to anybody else. He will only talk to Sarah.
And right.
He's super creepy. He's a really good introduction to the caster clone line and the acting chops of the actor,
yes.
Harry Millen, who does the caster clones.
He is phenomenal. So Tatiana definitely has, I mean... We can, and this episode is a perfect example of the ability of them to like embody these completely different characters. Mm-hmm. And the caster boys are just like, you immediately know who they are, and not just because what they're wearing or if they have a scar or not, or if they have a mustache, but like, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
The casting is, and the acting chops are just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. I did a little digging because I recently read or listened to something where they said, you know, they only decided in sometime in season 2 to make, you know, what was one character, Mark, who was with the Prolethians, who married Gracie at the end of last season, that make him into, you know, a clone character. And they only told Ari Millen that he was getting that job, like, when they were filming episode 9 of season 2. So
he
didn't know what was coming. In fact, they were talking about killing that character off in season 2. So instead of getting killed off, he got way more work than he probably bargained for, but...
Right, and more, like, hardcore acting chops.
Yeah. And he had the benefit of watching Sarah the first 2 seasons, or actually, he was not in season 1, so he had the benefit of watching Sarah during season 2 and seeing, you know, how she worked with her...
You mean Tatiana?
Tatiana. This is terrible. Anyway, I'm leaving in. I'm not even cutting that from post. That's how confused we are.
So, yes.
Yeah, Sarah to me is always like the default clone and the one that I think is like Tatiana, but she's nothing like Tatiana.
Right.
But yeah, so he had the benefit of seeing Tatiana work with Catherine Alexandri and see, you know, also the technical stuff that they do to pull off these multiple clone shots. And apparently his clone double acting partner was one of his friends from college or university. They were in acting school together. So he's somebody he already knew really well. So I thought that was a nice story.
That is really cool. I like that.
Yeah, but Rudy the clone, I don't think we know his name at this point, but that's his name. He really riles up Sarah easily, mentioning her family members. And
oh yeah, they've done their research. They know what affects her.
Yeah. So she has to be taken out of the room with him, the cell that they've been keeping him in, because she's about ready to throttle him.
Yeah.
And then Delphine tells her that somebody is coming from topside to check out the LITA program and make sure it's still secure. And she refers to him as a cleaner, like somebody who could potentially, you know, wreck the whole program. And she needs Sarah to pretend to be Rachel.
So, because, of course, Rachel is very out of commission.
Very out of commission. I think they mention in that scene where they take out the pencil that it's not just her eye. It's also damaged her brain. So,
yeah.
She's not going to be herself for a long time. And so, of course, Sarah is calling her Sestras, trying to make sure everybody's okay, because the Castor clone basically said, we're coming after you and your family. And Allison is okay. She's coaching a soccer match. I love that. Cosima, okay. But then they go to Mrs. S house. That's, you know, the scene switches to Mrs. S house, and she comes in and she's immediately suspicious, and she grabs a knife in the kitchen. But somebody in a hooded sweatshirt gets a jump on her, which is, I think, the first time I've seen anybody get the upper hand on Siobhan.
Yeah.
Because she.
Although it does make sense. I mean, this is a guy that, so we find out he's a Castor brother, and like, he's probably been hardcore trained for this job. Mm-hmm. For his entire life, basically. And as amazing as Mrs. S is, she's still not as tall or as physically strong as these guys are.
Right.
So it was completely believable, especially because she did get some good kicks in. Although, what is with the writing utensils being used as weapons? Stabbing him in the leg with a pen. I mean, wow.
Yeah. That was good. And also, she never lost her composure. And she really, you know, he expected her to be cowed by him and his scariness. And she was treating him like an idiot. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really liked that. Yeah. Unsurprisingly.
So Sarah and Felix find her all injured, and she's sort of blasé about being attacked, I would say. But that's Mrs. S. And she decides she's got to tell Sarah about the deal that she made to trade Helena for Sarah and Kira.
Yes.
And Sarah is mad, very mad. It's not your deal to make, I think she says.
Yeah, which is so understandable. I mean, and Mrs. S obviously feels heartbroken, but her first priority is always Kira.
Yeah.
Like, that is her goal, is to make sure that Kira is taken care of. And so, I probably would have done the same thing.
And all the other characters throughout the rest of the show basically said, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Felix says that. Sarah's the only one who can really feel that bond with Helena. Everybody else is still a little afraid of her and doesn't treat her as indispensable, but she is Sarah's identical twin. So,
yeah. I can see their confusion, I can see their connection and how important this is, especially for someone that grew up not much family.
Yeah. Next, we're in Felix's apartment, and Cosima
and Kira hanging out.
Very cute.
Being so sweet. I love the connection that Auntie Cosima has with Kira.
Yes.
And we learned that she did kind of die in that scene that I was worried that she was dead for. It was having her out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And that got me really emotional, because I was like, oh, she's fine. Nope. Nope, she wasn't. And you can see how much she misses Delphine mm-hmm. in her life too. It was really emotional mm-hmm. to experience for sure.
Yeah. And the Delphine comes by the apartment and Sarah has been saying to Delphine, you've got to go see Cosima. You know, you've got to go see your girlfriend. Yeah. And finally Delphine comes and she says, I can only stay for a minute, but I just want to say I'm keeping my promise to you to love all your sisters equally. But in order to do that, I can't do this. And that's a breaking up.
Well, especially because Cosima made Delphine promise that she would love all the sisters equally, mm-hmm. which in this situation means that she can't love Cosima more than she loves the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And especially with the decisions that she's going to have to make as the new Rachel, mm-hmm. her priorities are the safety for all. So she can't be distracted, but it doesn't make it any easier. Yeah. And that's so, so heartbreaking. Yeah,
Cosima really plays these like relationship ups and downs really well. Like they're so believable. Yeah. And when she her first instinct is to say, okay, then your minute, you know, you probably have to go. Bye. And then Delphine has said like, well, we all have our part to play, and yours is to cure yourself and your sisters. And then Cosima just like scrunches up all crying like and says, I love you. And my heart was breaking at that moment. And
yeah,
they close the door. And then of course Delphine is crying as well. So
yeah. And Kira grabs the embryos and comforts them or something. I don't really know.
She got the tank of embryos.
Yeah, she watches Cosima come in and go lay down to cry, and is like, she pulls out the embryos, that whole tank of them, and I was like, oh, okay, that was a little weird, but it's all good. Yeah. So now we have some more Allison time. Yeah. So previously when she was talking on the phone, with Sarah, we learn that she is most likely going to run against Marcy for school board something or other.
Yeah.
And also learn that Donnie gets fired because he is no longer the pushover type character. And instead, like, was standing up for himself and all of this new, hey, I buried a body and I threatened people, like, personality.
Right.
But that also means that they are down the income. So they're sitting in the, running the magical numbers to try and figure out, you know, where this money's coming from. And Donnie's like, well, you might need to work for your mom. And she was just like, she just shut that down. I was like, nope.
I will dig ditches for this family, but I will not work with my mother at Bubbles.
Yeah, which sounds like a hilarious store. I don't even know what they sell, and it doesn't even matter, but I kind of want to go there.
I figured you would. Well, I like how then, you know, she says, besides, I've got a bee in my bonnet. I want to run for school trustee. And, you know, talks about Marcy Coates and the whole changing the school boundaries. And Donnie says, I hear she's manipulating real estate prices. And he says, she's got to go. And I thought, are you going to assassinate her, Donnie? Because that's how you...
That was totally what I was thinking, too. I was like, okay, he has got this mindset of let's just kill him and get him out of the way now. And I'm just like, whoa, talk about like a major character change. Yes. So hopefully that's not their goal. And instead they go legally and choose to run in the like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it just, well, we'll see. But I thought it was pretty funny because it seemed to come out of nowhere. Except that we already know he's an assassin.
Right. Yeah. And I loved when he pulled out the receipts too for his monitor work.
I've got $347 from my monitor ring receipts. And I'm thinking, really, Donnie? You got to get an expense report from Dyad now and get $347.
Right. Yeah, that was really funny.
Donnie's awesome. So there's the clone phone is ringing for Allison, and she's like, oh, it's Delphine. I've got to, she wants me to help her out with something. And then they showed Sarah also with her phone ringing, and she says to Felix, they're still at the beach. That's another thing, Delphine, she's got my number. And Felix is like, definitely time for new clone phones.
Yes.
And Sarah says, well, she wants my help saving Lita and Dyad. And favorite Felix line, well, I have two, but this is one. Jesus, don't these people know you never even finished high school?
I know. I love that, like, here's Sarah, who is a very specific personality type, but they need her help for so many different things. Mm-hmm. Like, in order for it to work out, they're relying on her, which, you know what? That's actually really fine, because she has the skills that are needed. Mm-hmm. Because as Delphine is calling, because they need Sarah to be Rachel. Mm-hmm. And later on, we learn why Delphine was calling Allison as well.
Yeah. So then they show Sarah and Felix together with Delphine at Dyad. And Felix, my second favorite line, he's like, I won't condone this. Rachel's a stretch for her.
Yeah. But man, Felix was definitely excited to play stylist. Yeah. You could just tell he was in his element, completely rocking through the makeup and the clothing and like making sure that, oh no, Sarah needs to wear white because she needs to look radiant and like own it, and all of these like very distinct choices. Mm-hmm. That Felix, it really was the perfect person for it.
Yeah. That was nice that he got to have that scene. And
yeah.
Back at his apartment, though, there's Scott and Cosima. So Scott comes over to take Cosima's vitals and check up on her. And he's all nervous about what's happening next when he says, all these soldier clones running around and all this lesbian drama. I don't know if I want to work on this super secret stuff anymore. And Cosima's like, hey, look at this copy of the Island of Dr. Moreau that Ethan gave me. She knows how to pique his interest, and he's looking at all the notes from Ethan Duncan in that book, and he says, this could be the key to his synthetic sequence. And she knows, Cosima knows she has him hooked at that point.
Oh, yeah. Using the magic of science and scientific mysteries, like that's... She knows her audience. We'll just put it that way. And she needs Scott. She needs this science partner, especially now that Delphine is too busy running Dyad.
That's a good point.
Like, she needs someone that can have her back and also do the science part, because she can't do it alone.
Right.
But the good part is that she's getting healthier-ish. So, yay.
That's true.
That's happy.
So back at Dyad, we see Sarah in the white outfit, the wig, the makeup, and she's trying out her Rachel accent and tries out lines like, welcome to the Dyad Institute. Enjoy your oophorectomy.
Right. Oh my goodness. I love the lines that she chose to practice on.
We get to say that word again. And so she's following Delphine to meet this person who we find out his name's Ferdinand. And I just loved how she was walking just like Sarah, though. And yes. Just like kind of like a sailor, like all like shoulders and, you know, a hunkered down. Like she had not gotten the Rachel, you know, perfect poise, posture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
Yeah. And again, shout out to the acting chops, because the ability to be a person who's playing a person who's playing a person as a person, like the layers, and it's so believable. Yeah. And it's just so well done.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
And then we get to meet Ferdinand, who is James Frayne, who is one of my favorite bad guy actors.
Yeah. Except he's Sarek now, and he's a good guy.
Yes.
On Star Trek Discovery. So my
I haven't seen that.
So. My he's such a bad guy in Orphan Black. I really thought I would have a hard time buying him as this very centered yet compassionate good person Vulcan, but he's a great actor. So,
yeah, he really is. I mean, I loved him in True Blood and The Tudors. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were two of my favorites. Yeah.
I think he's really, really good in this and super creepy.
Yes.
So he's looking at Sarah, who's pretending to be Rachel, and she's trying to say, okay, I got to go. I got another flight, because that was the deal. Right. And he's like, no, I need both of you. And she's like, oh, crap.
Right. Because the whole thing was is that they were very concerned with how believable she would be able to be in her acting chops as Rachel. And so they were like, we got to get her out of the situation as quickly as possible. Yeah. Like, and it just, you can tell Sarah just manages to pull it together, though. And it's just makes it as believable as possible. Yeah. But Ferdinand definitely thinks something's up.
Yeah. And so, you know, he has some questions about Sarah Manning, which, of course, Sarah's right there. And he says he wants to see her. I understand you have her here. I want to see her. And so that's when we find out why Allison needs to be part of this. And there's Allison pretending to be Sarah. And as they're walking into the room, the interrogation room, and Allison's like, holy doodle, here we go.
I loved, anytime that Allison gets pushed out of her comfort zone, mm-hmm. is just, it's so funny. And it makes me giggle just a little bit.
Yeah. So there's a short scene with Allison pretending to be Sarah, while Sarah pretending to be Rachel is looking on, and Ferdinand is basically groping Allison, and nobody was expecting that.
And no.
He's looking for her oophorectomy scar.
Right. Which I had totally forgotten that was, first off, that it would be a surgery that way and not like subvaginally. But I mean, it makes sense. But I was just like, why is he molesting? That's right. And so Delphine, thinking on her feet, was like, you can't do an oophorectomy on someone that's ovulating. And I was like, okay, believable. Awesome. Like, good job. And just like, you could tell the relief that, oh, okay, we're out of it. Yeah. Like, we're kind of safe. But then Ferdinand takes Sarah as Rachel to talk to her with the door closing between Delphine, and Delphine kind of has a panicked look on her face. And it's just like, okay, we need to discuss Helsinki. And we learn that we don't know what Helsinki is necessarily, other than something bad that Ferdinand caused. Mm-hmm. So we know that it's bad. Delphine's scared for it. But Ferdinand definitely has this level of flirtation. Mm-hmm. So Sarah is like, okay, I can use my mad skills in seduction and we'll get through this however we need to do it. So he's going to come over to Rachel's house tonight. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
This is fine.
No problem. They show the Sestras on a phone call where Allison says, I thought Mr. Rubber Gloves was going to throttle me on the spot. know, and Sarah's like, I don't think Helena's a priority for Delphine. We can only trust ourselves. And Allison says the sweetest thing, which is poor thing about Helena. We have to do something. Yes. And and Cosima just is like, I love you guys.
Yeah.
I love you.
Sister love. Sister love.
Meanwhile, so we got like two things going on here, almost
simultaneously.
Delphine and Rachel, and then Sarah and Ferdinand, and then Delphine. So I think Delphine and Rachel first.
Yeah.
Which is going in order. Delphine, I love Delphine opens up with the line, I warned you, this was personal.
Yes. She's able to get back at Rachel.
Oh boy.
For doing these horrible things. And you know what? It's funny because normally I would feel a little bit of sadness in torturing of a, like an invalid. Mm-hmm. Rachel is definitely, there's definitely some brain. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, poke her in the eyeball, even with the horrible sound effects. Like, yeah, make this happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was putting pressure on her eye socket, you know, where, you know, over the bandage and.
Yeah.
Just continuing. I mean, it's torture, plain and simple, asking her questions. And, you know, finally, like, what are you planning with Ferdinand? And Rachel says, Helsinki. And Delphine's like, you wicked yes. sister. I love wicked in this contest text because she is wicked. You're not supposed to know about that. And then she just starts pressuring the eye socket again to get some more answers. Meanwhile, at Rachel's apartment, Ferdinand shows up. He's all suave as he is. I mean, he is a good looking man and in this show, very well dressed.
Well, and he's and not he an evil vampire.
Like he does in Star Trek.
Like in True Blood. That was good.
Okay.
Yeah. He plays a very. Very like so evil he is able to pretend to be good type of a I don't know, it's very confusing, but like he's super creepy but still attractive, and so coming in to seduce Rachel as per usual, but he's dropping hints like, hey, can you make me that drink that we had at the bar and stuff, and it's just like, oh no, he's gonna find out. But Sarah pulls it around, is like, no, I figured we'd go local and gets him some whiskey on the rocks, and I'm like, okay, that's done.
I know she's definitely drawing on her grifter skills and her ability to not get caught. And honestly, I think Ferdinand should have caught on a little quicker. He didn't catch on. Like, he doesn't know. But he's a little bit suspicious, and he's also more jealous than suspicious when he's like, you're not yourself. You know, did you sleep with Paul Dearden? You know, and Sarah's like, well, he was my monitor. What do you think? Sarah keeps turning the conversation to Helena and is saving Helena. And Ferdinand is confused because Helsinki, as we've come to find out, is like this,
like getting rid of the annihilation entire
of clones.
Batch.
So, So the Helsinki girls were eradicated in 24 hours. 6 clones, 32 collateral, he says. And so, you know, speaking of evil. Yeah. He's very evil. So, you know, he's telling her, so put down Sarah after you get her ovaries and finish off Cosima. And Rachel, not Rachel, aka Sarah, says, What about Alison Hendricks? And he says, oh, that's already underway. We chloroform the whole family. House fire. I know. Learned that from the Finns. The way he says Finns, I love that. And I didn't remember that from the previous watchings. How?
Yes.
Just how he,
for sure.
He's so coldly evil. Well,
and he, so, we also have a moment where Sarah is able to, again, use her ability to manipulate men and like sticks her foot right in his crotch so that he goes, who's a dirty clone? And I'm just like, how did she even recognize that that is what he wanted? Was a little bit crazy. But as soon as she finds out that Allison is like being taken care of now, she's like, I need to go to the bathroom or whatever, and goes and like pulls out the phone from like this thigh holster to call. And of course she doesn't answer because Allison is working out in her pajamas on the elliptical, which was weird. And she's just trying so hard to get a hold of Allison, and it doesn't work, which is bad.
Yeah.
And then Ferdinand follows her into the bathroom, which is even worse.
Yeah. That's the bathroom, you know, where Daniel, the Cylon, almost chopped her up before Helena came to save her. So she's had bad experiences in Rachel's apartment.
Yeah. And so she's pushed against the counter, and you can see her like grappling for a nail file. Sarah is ready to do whatever it takes to get rid of this situation. She'll fight her way out, and Ferdinand mentions Kira, which of course is just like, oh great, you know, obviously they know about the Kira and whatnot. And instead of attacking, well, she still attacks, but attacks in a BDSM manner. Yeah. Like stripping out his belt and starts whipping him with it. Just is like, this is how I'm going to manage this guy. Yeah. Which, again, it's crazy that she was able to manage her rage, especially like, don't mess with my daughter. Yeah.
Well, he was confirming a piece of information there, which was that Rachel really wants Kira. Literally wants Kira, not just Kira the experiment, but Kira the child.
Yeah, but based on what, I don't think that was nearly as much of a confirmation as she needed, because it was pretty obvious that that is what Rachel wanted, was she wants Kira.
Yeah.
And not for her stem cells. So they make it back to the bed, and Sarah climbs on top and starts choking Ferdinand with the belt. And it goes much further than I'm sure Ferdinand wouldn't actually enjoy.
Said, you know, you remember our safe word? Sarah says no.
No. Oh, it was so funny. Because he's just, you could see the panic in his eyes. Yeah. But Delphine arrives just in time to save him and threaten him. And thankfully just in time to abort Allison's death.
Yes.
So manages not to murder Allison and her family with a fire and chloroform.
No.
Which is nice.
It was so Allison, you know, for her, you know, to be suspicious. The lights came on in the backyard, and we see the henchman of Ferdinand. And I mean, that guy would be the picture of henchman in the dictionary, right?
Yes. Like, not creepy on the level that, like, some of the Prolethians have been. But definitely henchman is perfect description, because that is exactly what he was. He is a henchman.
So Allison is worried something is going on, and she grabs something, but not one of her guns, I don't think, because I was saying, oh, come on, Allison, get a gun. You have guns. But right. She goes out in the backyard and then into the garage, and I was thinking, what happened to 911? You know, like,
right? Because they're, it's not like they're going to find the body.
Right.
If they call 911, like, that's not right. A concern, but, you know, whatever.
It was, I thought Allison was extraordinarily brave and maybe too brave and for her own good.
Yeah, a little bit stupid.
So the scene switches back to the place where Helena is being held, and there's a woman, older woman, watching a video of the box that Helena is in, and she is smoking a cigarette, and then she directs one of the caster clones, okay, go ahead and let her out. That's what happens. This caster comes into the room and unlocks the box, and he looks down at Helena, and I don't know, does he say something? He has a look, you know, which...
Yeah, no, I don't think he says anything. The only words we see or hear are, congratulations, you escaped the first box.
Oh, yeah.
From yes, Helena's buddy.
It was good. And then the very last scene is in that basement cell in Marion Bowles' house. The caster guy, they've already shown him doing chin-ups naked. And I was like, yes. Here we go. Another butt it comes into the mix.
Right. On Orphan Black. his nickname in Naked my notes Buddha. Is yeah. Naked Buddha.
And one of the guards is mocking him to one of the other guards, saying, like, what is he like, Naked Buddha? And so in this last scene, the one guard has gone off to do his rounds, and this guard is standing there looking at him, and he hears somebody coming, assuming it was his guard colleague, but it's another caster with a gun, blows him away, and unlocks the door and says, hey, brother.
And that's the episode.
Well, I think it was a good season starter. Covered a lot of ground, so there was a little bit of, like, the level of intensity was kind of lower than usual, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily disappointed, because of course you're not disappointed, but I didn't feel that it was as well crafted as a lot of, like, the season two opener. Mm-hmm. And even the finales, it seemed a little bit like, oh, hey, we have to get updates on all of this stuff, as opposed to, hey, let's very specifically, like, choose what we're going to do type of a conversation.
No, that makes sense. Well, let's wrap up this show, and I'll look forward to seeing episode two, season three, with you very shortly.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. You can find us as a part of the Incomparable Network. Make sure you also check out membership options. We would love to have you as a member. We are also on Twitter at SestraCast. Jean is at MacGenie, and I am at Mrs. Soup. And we would so appreciate if you would take a little bit of time and rate us on iTunes, leave us a review, and we hope you have an absolutely fantastic rest of your day.